how accessible is the music industry economically for writers and performers at this current point in time?
Okay, that's a big question. I guess it really depends on what aspects you're interested in and what skills you have. So my background is that I'm an instrumentalist. I play the saxophone and I'm a composer. So when I started out, you are as well?
Yeah, I'm a saxophonist.
Oh, what do you play?
I play tenor.
Oh, fantastic. Well, I'm an alto and a baritone player.
Oh, nice.
So, I guess the scene has changed a lot. So when I first started, I guess my first gigs were sort of at the end of the 80s. Mm-hmm. I'm giving my age away here. But at that time, obviously, people were making albums. Vinyl had kind of almost finished, but CDs were happening. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was a very different scene. So there was the potential to be making money as a session musician. Mm. There was potential to be making money as a live performer and doing tours. So the live scene was more viable, I guess, than it is now. That said, recording was very expensive. So if you wanted to make a recording at home, it wasn't going to sound very good. And if you wanted to make a recording in a studio, it was going to cost you a lot of money, usually. And so that was really prohibitive. Of course, now that's a very different thing. Like, it's possible to produce incredibly professional sounding recordings in your bedroom. And of course, it's still possible to record in a studio. So look, all of those things can still generate income, but I would have to say, and probably too, just in light of the fact that we've just come through a global pandemic, the live scene is not what it once was, but we're all hoping that recovers, sooner rather than later.
100%. And since you were talking about now, how's the advent of music streaming done much to help with that?
Look, from my perspective, it's not good financially. So not that long ago, I could do a gig and I could turn up and I could set up my little table with all my CDs on them, and I could sell them initially for maybe $25, mm-hmm. and then $20, and then $15, and then $10, and now they're essentially valueless. Mm. So that's a real problem for small operators. If you don't have a major label supporting, or even a mid-sized label supporting, any label supporting you, that's a real problem. And Spotify and other streaming platforms certainly have not taken the place of selling an album for, just for a few dollars. And I think probably most people listening to this would have heard some reports of that. So Spotify generates, fractions of a cent per stream. Mm-hmm. If you're Ed Sheeran, that's probably okay. But if you're an unheard of artist, that's pretty dire. So I'm hoping, as most of my colleagues and musicians around the world are, we're hoping that we are in this state of flux and that things will get better. Mm. Of course, there are other options. There's artist-driven pages and websites like Bandcamp, and it is still possible to, to support an artist that you like and for artists to make money. But streaming hasn't lived up to what was sort of promised maybe in the very early stages. So it's certainly not a replacement for the CD table at the gig.
100%. So, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this particular question, but, how is copyright law currently letting artists down?
Okay. Well, look, I guess I have to sort of speak as a musician and a writer.
Of course.
I'm an APRA member, and I would encourage anybody who is writing original music and performing original music to be a member of the Australasian Performing Right Association. Mm-hmm. So every time I perform my music live, I do a gig anywhere, I fill out a little form online now, of course, and APRA collect royalties on my behalf. So, and they pay royalties, several times a year. So that's a way of writers being paid for producing their works. Mm-hmm. Also, it's possible to have your works published. Again, in my case, because I write jazz, the Australian Music Centre is a publisher of of Australian New Australian Works, mm-hmm. and so they will also collect some royalties if I sell compositions through the Australian Music Centre. So there are ways. So I guess that's all I would say is that if you're writing music and you're performing it live, you need to, I strongly encourage anybody listening to this who thinks that might be them to join APRA. Of course, it's possible to then have a publisher, and the publisher, their job is to promote your music and try and find a placement for it, and that can be fantastic as well. So there are options for writers and performers for sure.
Yeah, and we here at 2SER do fill out our APRA forms as well, so you sure will know our artists here that we play are getting their dues that they are owed. So you mentioned that you are a session musician or have been a session musician in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
how does this royalty law affect them, seeing as they didn't actually write the music?
Well, it's a great question. Often what will happen in a session situation is you'll be hired and you will sign what's called a release form,
mm-hmm.
and that basically says that your performance in that session is you're signing that over to whoever's running the session, to the label or the musician that you're working for, or the advertising company, or whoever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's usually the kind of the cleanest way to do that. So that, I guess, essentially that protects the person who's recording, who owns the recording, from musicians coming back to them in 5 years' time and saying, hey, that solo that I played, you went to number one, I'd like some more royalties. So it sort of stops that happening.
Okay.
That can be more complicated, or it can be interesting for jazz musicians, where improvisation is a big part of the performance practice. So if I go in and I play some long notes that someone's written on a piece of manuscript, and that's the session, that's one thing. But sometimes somebody might say, I want you to improvise a solo. And then if that becomes a feature of the track, then it's possible to feel, again, speaking as an instrumentalist, you can sometimes feel that you've contributed a lot more to the final product than maybe playing some long notes in the background. But again, that's just something that you have to negotiate at the beginning of the session.
Mm.
And again, anyone listening to this, you want to do this at the beginning, not later.
100%.
They can be tricky conversations.
Of course they can be. So how would you like to see copyright law change to best help artists?
Look, I guess just that it recognises the work that goes into the product, and is that music, I guess broadly speaking, it's easy sometimes to feel that music isn't valued the way perhaps it once was, because it's so accessible to us now, that anything you want to hear, you can access it. I do that myself. You know, it's like, I really want to hear a particular song. I can find that very, very easily and listen to it often for free.
Mm.
And that seems to be a shift in the way that as a society we view music. Now, if you think about the work that it might take, you know, somebody writing a piece for the Australian Chamber Orchestra or the Sydney Symphony, or, you know, a large ensemble, like, yes, we have computers that can make the process of copying parts easier nowadays, of course, but still the work conceiving and arranging work, music still takes a lot of time. And you know, I hope that we all continue to value that.
Speaking from personal experience, arranging is a nightmare.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Hear, hear, hear.
So
very challenging.
What can our listeners at home do to help?
I guess value the music that you listen to, that, you know, can think about, and I guess we all love music on some level. You know, music's important. It's a, you know, the soundtrack of our lives, whatever that might be. But I guess when we are listening to music, it's just a good thing to remember that somebody created that, and we want them to be able to go on creating that. And the only way they can do that is if they can somehow be compensated for doing that work. Otherwise, they'll have to find another job to do. And, you know, I think the world is a better place for having beautiful music in it.
100%. It always is. And we want those starving artists to not be starving anymore. We don't want that.
That's very true. So yeah, support local music. support local bands, support local artists. That's what we can all do. When it's safe to do so, we can all get back out and hear it live too.
100%. Thank you very much for joining us on the show today.
It's a great pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No worries.